Amen. Amen. So today, the title of my message is to tell the traveler to keep on traveling.
Amen.
And that's another thing. It'd be nice if you unmuted yourselves, because encouragement I will need. Amen. So today, I'm going to attempt to explain and to review the law of hospitality. Okay? Now, this law existed during the time of David. And the purpose of this law was to require residents to service the traveler. Mm-hmm. And it meant that no one was allowed to refuse a traveler. And we have to know that during those times, there were no jet planes. There was no rapid trains. There were no hotels along the way to bathe, to refresh yourself, or restaurants along the way to satisfy your hunger. That didn't exist. So the law stated that no one was allowed to refuse helping the traveler. Mm-hmm. And I repeat that. So you had to help them, and this allowed the traveler to reach his destination, to complete his traveling well, rested, and whole. Amen. And as I said, it didn't allow for any exception. It didn't matter whether the traveler was a rich man knocking on your door. It didn't matter if he was a pauper knocking on your door. It didn't matter if he was neatly dressed or disheveled. Amen. It didn't matter if he was a beggar or she was a beggar. And I'll say he, because most likely that's what the traveler would be. If it was a female, she would be with her husband. Amen. Wow. So it didn't matter if they were beggars or people of nobility.
Mm-hmm.
So the law did state you had to assist. However, this law also implied that you did not have to invite them into your home. Mm. Amen. Amen. And this is very important in what I would like to review today. So I am going to use the law of hospitality or the traveler as a metaphor.
Amen.
So, Father God, I come before your holy throne, Lord God. I pray that these words that are spoken to you today will satisfy you, Lord God. I pray that it is intended exactly what you would like to have been said, Lord God. And I pray that it falls on those that need to hear it this day. So, Father God, I honor and I bless you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So what is a metaphor? I will explain it. A metaphor is essentially a figure of speech. Amen. It makes a comparison between two non-similar items, and it asserts that the two things are identical in comparison rather than just similar. Amen. So today, this metaphor is a representation of the traveler and the thoughts that often come into our minds. Amen. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. And many times, they can represent an uninvited guest. As many of these thoughts present themselves to us, even though they are uninvited, even though they are unexpected, even though they are unwelcome, they will present themselves to us. Amen. And I'm speaking of the thoughts that go against the will of God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now, whether we, you, me, choose to entertain these thoughts mm-hmm. and let them grow, or whether or not we choose not to, to entertain them and feed them, is totally up to us.
Amen.
You see, the enemy will attempt to bombard our minds daily. And if we are not cautious, if we are not in the Word of God, we will allow negative, immoral, and destructive thoughts to invade our mind, to invade our soul. Sometimes, if we're not cautious, we may even allow them to make their home within us.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Now, we must know that the thoughts, whether good or bad, we choose to invite in, the thoughts we choose to nurture, mm-hmm. the thoughts we choose to feed will be the ones that grow.
That's true.
Amen.
Amen.
And scripture gives us the necessary tools
Amen.
For what we need to fight this. It gives us the necessary tools to live a victorious life.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
So tell me, what is a victorious life?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a life with which we are in it able to control our thoughts. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
It is a life of victory over sin, over self, over Satan, a life of freedom from the power of sin, and more than that, from the penalty of sin. Amen.
Amen.
A life that is not only reconciled to God by the death of his son, mm-hmm. but a life that is also saved through his life. Amen. The life of his son. And mm-hmm. how do we know this? How do I know this? I'm going to go to Romans 5:10.
Romans 5:10.
Okay.
5:10.
And this tells us, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, so much more than being reconciled, mm-hmm. we shall be saved by his life. So that confirms what I just told you. And the word is true. And the word, as they say, you can take to the bank. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So in recognizing and accepting this gift, we receive tools to be in command over the thoughts that invade our minds. Mm-hmm. However, ultimately, the choice is ours. As we all know, God has so generously given us a free will.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And today, I hope to share with you a few key points to help us, to help you, to help me tell these unwelcome, unwanted guests to keep on moving. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
They are not going to be fed here. They are not going to live
That's
here.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Samuel 12:4-11.
2 Samuel 12.
Forgiveness.
4-11. Yes. So I'm not reading it verbatim. Amen. But this chapter, these verses speak to us of when King David allowed evil and negative thoughts to guide his actions. And I want you all to know, to because it's common sense, but we don't usually have it in our minds, that before any action can be completed, before any action is done, it is first in our thoughts. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And so what happened here with King David? Okay. The prophet Nathan comes before the king.
Fine.
And as Nathan speaks, he describes a rich man that was confronted by a traveler. And I presume the traveler must have been hungry. So this is Nathan speaking to King David. And the rich man refused to take from his own herd to feed the traveler, but he took, being righteous, he took the very best lamb from a poor man's herd and fed the traveler. I guess he thought he was a righteous, law-abiding citizen in doing so.
Yeah.
But I ask you, was that what the law meant? Was that what the law was intended for? So what happens with King David? He becomes very angry and upset with the rich man, only to find out through Nathan, the prophet Nathan, that the rich man was King David himself. Amen. Amen. And so we have to pay attention, and we have to pay attention to correct ourselves.
Amen.
So what happens next? The prophet Nathan reminds the king. He reminded the king of all the blessings that God had already given him. And when those negative thoughts enter our minds, our soul, we have to remember of all the blessings that God has already given us. Amen, amen.
Amen.
And not only that, of all the extra blessings that God was going to give him and that God will give us, that God already has planned for us. Amen. And I'm open to blessings, okay?
Amen. Amen.
And not to belabor this, what was the result? David had to pay back fourfold because he did this. Because he had no pity on that traveler. Because he didn't obey the law. Amen.
Amen.
And in this, we all know that God was the one that anointed David as king over all of Israel. God had delivered him from the hands of Saul.
Yes.
And so on and so on. I tell you, it's a terrific story. And you have to get into the Word and read these stories, because they're not only wonderful stories, wonderful stories about history, they are truth. They are truth. So
that's right.
Please read it.
Amen.
But the Word tells us that yet God would have given him so much more.
Amen. Amen.
However, David did evil in the sight of God. And God's punishment, you know, a parent, a loving parent, will I'll say, I don't want to say punish, but will correct their children. Amen. Amen. And God's punishments are clearly noticed in this scripture, to the point where God said he would raise an adversary. And he didn't say, I will raise an adversary against David. He said, against his house. My Lord, my Lord. You see, when David was called to show mercy, when he was called to show the love of God, he failed. He had no regard He was in disregard to the will of God.
Amen.
And God once again spoke through Nathan and said, out of his own house, out of David's own house, he would bring calamity against him. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you got to read it. You got to read it. Okay? Because the main thing is that not only David thought, he did all these things in secret. There is not anything that can be done in secret against God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And God told him that all these things, the calamity and everything against David, although David thought he did his things in secret, that God would do them in broad daylight in front of all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little scary to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you because this tells us what we are to do. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Mm-hmm.
And here the word tells us we are to, and the word says, destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, right? The opinion in your mind against the knowledge of God. It tells us that we are to take every thought captive. Captive for what?
Obedience.
So we know what the thought was? So we can review it? No, it says every thought captive to obey God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4:8. And I'm going to read this in its entirety, just as it is written. Because this clearly tells us what the thoughts that we are to entertain are. And I quote, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report.
Amen.
If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So that's what you should allow into your home. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this verse encourages us to think positive thoughts, to invite positive thoughts in, and to focus on things that are virtuous and praiseworthy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And with all that has been said, the point is that the traveler in our thoughts represents the evil and wrong thoughts. You know, it could be even thoughts of illness. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't feed that to your mind. You know, we live in a world that floods us with negative and evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the thoughts may be, as I said, of illness, of immorality, of inadequacy, and even of suicide sometimes. You know, this traveler is always alert, waiting for you to let your guard down, and always ready to come in, whether you invite him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we cannot feed this type of traveler. We cannot feed these wrong thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We have to starve them out. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Pay them no mind.
That's right.
And they will dissipate. They will. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the enemy will use weapons. He'll use music. He'll use movies. He will use television. He will use social media. Amen. Mm-hmm. He will do whatever he has to do to invade our mind.
That's
amen.
Right. That's true.
To poison us.
Yes.
To poison us. We yes. have to remove these weapons from the one who strives to remove us away, to move us away from God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and I've always believed that. I've always, throughout my life, believed that when we are confronted, there's a weapon involved. Mm. And this weapon has to be removed.
Amen.
And simply said,
mm-hmm.
how simple people, or not people, weapons can be formed against you. I go back to when my children were little, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old. And I'm sure some of you went through this also. When I would be walking outside with my children, I would be holding their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when they decided that they didn't want to walk anymore, that they didn't want to go the way I would go, all of a sudden their legs became limp. And they would like sort of like, limp on down to the ground, all right? Am I speaking to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you would be like holding them. So my kids mm-hmm. did it once. They did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
The third time I said, this is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So the third time in holding their hand, when they went to the ground, I very gently let them go to the ground. I let go of their hand, and I kept on walking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And within seconds, they're running behind me. They're running behind me. Well, I'm going to tell you now. It happened once. Mm-hmm. It happened twice. But it didn't happen three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The weapon was removed. They saw it was of no use, and they didn't do it again.
Amen.
Right. Think about that.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So, let me just move along. Okay. So we must be on guard. We must have our mind on guard. Our soul, you know, pendiente. How do you say that in English?
In mind.
Alert.
So, yes, alert
mm-hmm.
to all the weapons that are formed yeah. against us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's formed against us. Your mind mm-hmm. and your actions cannot be open and available to just anything.
That's right.
You know, the enemy is after your mind. And I implore you, like the word says, to take every thought
captive.
Amen.
That's right.
Believe it or not, and I'm sure we all know this, but Satan gives orders to his demons, to his cohorts, to corrupt your mind.
That's right.
That's right. And we must learn to beware. And to be aware of this traveler.
Darrow's, yep.
Amen. We must win the battle that is between our ears,
mm-hmm.
between our eyes, and keep our eyes on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. When the enemy bombards your mind with negative, evil thoughts, when he tries to capture your attention and your mind, don't look. Don't look. Learn to move your eyes in another direction.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, put the name of Jesus on your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Put the name of Jesus in your brain. And what is the result? The result will be that every image, every thought that comes into your mind will have to be filtered through the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Put on that helmet of salvation.
Right.
Okay. Literally. Protect that mind. You have to be alert.
Yes.
To the signal of when your mind is toying with temptation.
Amen.
We have to be alert to that.
Yes.
We have to evaluate what that is.
Amen.
Is it worth losing our walk with God? Is it worth disappointing God? Mm. Because he still loves us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so many things today are broadcast on TV. As I said, never mind the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most of you will remember the I Love Lucy show. Remember that whenever they showed their bedroom, there was always two twin beds?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Think about it. There was like, I'll say, a law of morality then. Yeah. You know, so think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, remember, King David also spoke about having his head anointed with oil. And I know Brother Mark already read it today, but I'm going to review Psalm 23. Amen. Amen. Now, although my focus is on the anointing of David's head, this psalm is just too beautiful to take apart. So I am going to read it. The Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can you picture that? Can you make a picture of that?
Yes.
You're in no one. You're by still waters. Mm. You're in green pastures. Mm. Oh, my Lord.
He restores your soul.
He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. Not because so I could be righteous, but for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through, I don't live there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Hallelujah.
Now let me just elaborate on that for 1 minute, even though it's maybe another message. But what is a rod? A rod, and like I said, you have to relate things to the times they were spoken, to the times they were written. A rod was like a short bat-like instrument. And the staff was a longer stick with a hook or a crook, okay? And the shepherd, God, our shepherd, and the sheep, us. So the shepherd with the rod and the staff, he would like prod the sheep back in order, back into safety, you know, back under his care and his correction. So David says that thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I know I am in protection. I know that my God, my shepherd, looks over me. Amen.
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 Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I mean, amen. Is that just like marvelous is the word that comes into my mind. So here, I'm going to focus on David's head being anointed with oil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, I said, self, what's the significance of the oil on David's head?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't God, you know, like, slather it all over him?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And in researching the times,
mm-hmm.
I found that sheep are very susceptible to flies. To flies mm-hmm. landing on their head, on their ears, and on their nose.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Keep in mind, again, we are God's sheep. Amen.
Amen.
And I read two descriptions of what would happen. One said that the flies would then travel through. There is a connection from your ear to your head, right. Your brain, and from your nose to your sinuses to your brain. So the flies would fly up to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Another explanation would be that the flies would lay eggs, and I think of maggots,
mm-hmm.
and worms would crawl up mm-hmm. through the brain, through the ears, and through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
it would bang the head.
Thank you. So these flies. Okay, just a moment. And this, in my metaphor, represents the negative thoughts that land on our minds.
Amen, that's right. Amen.
Okay, so they would travel up the nose and the ears to the sheep's brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what would happen? Of course, these flies and worms, whatever, would then cause great discomfort. Great irritation as they contaminated the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what would the sheep do? To relieve the discomfort, to relieve the irritation,
mm-hmm.
perhaps even to relieve the pain.
Yeah.
Do you know that a lot of negative thoughts cause us pain?
Yes.
They cause us discomfort.
Amen.
They irritate us.
Yes.
But what would the sheep do? They would bang their heads on anything hard, on tree trunks, on rocks, on whatever hard object they could find, trying to relieve themselves. They would forcibly brush their heads against the objects, as I said, in an attempt to relieve the irritation.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, the sheep would die from this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to die, whether physically or spiritually, because of wrong thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So what would the shepherd do? Okay, what does our shepherd do? The shepherd would pour oil over the sheep's head. Thou anointest my head with oil.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And over their nose. Mm-hmm. And he would do this daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to pray every night and ask God to anoint us with his oil, to anoint our heads with oil. And the shepherd did this daily, resulting in that the fleas having to come out instead of flying in, the flies.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of flying in. You know, it's just like when you read about people that have come from, like, I'll say it respectfully, third world countries, all different ones, and they'll go into the jungle, and then they come with bugs inside of them or that have bit them. And what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Parasites, we put like Vaseline over it. That's what the doctor does because that parasite has to breathe. So he can't breathe now. So he has to come out.
Amen.
So that's my logic of it.
Very good.
My logic, okay? So they have to come out instead of establishing their residency in the sheep's brain.
Amen.
Do you understand my comparison?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Good, that I'm trying to make.
Yes.
I'm trying to be clear with the metaphor. All righty. So, you see, we need to keep the flies, which are the evil thoughts that torment us, out of our minds, out of our thoughts. We need to cleanse and even shampoo, if necessary, our thoughts.
Yes.
We need to reject the words, the voice of the enemy. Mm-hmm. When we ask God to anoint our heads, we will see that the anointing will cover our whole bodies. He don't have to swab it on our bodies.
Amen.
He just has to anoint our heads with oil.
Amen.
Amen.
And then I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is there. He's within you to assist you in defeating the enemy.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sweep out the ashes every morning in renewing our mind, in praying for the new day. We need to be constant. We need to be consistent. In stoking the fire that keeps us burning spiritually.
Amen.
And I'm not keeping track of the time. Can I continue, Pastor?
Sure.
Okay. So stoking the fire. Let me add this also. Years ago, Years ago, our older son lived in Maine. Maine is about 10 hours north of here. And I'm telling you, it is cold there. And we would go to Maine. And I'm telling you, the snow is so massive that when we were driving up my son's driveway, I was afraid because the driveway he shoveled on each side, there was about 6 feet of snow that I'm thinking, oh my God, what if it falls on us? But I mean, they even had to shovel their rooftops so that their roof would not cave in on them.
Wow.
I went to the kitchen, and even though it was above ground and elevated, the snow was level with the kitchen window, and there was a fox out there. So I said, oh my goodness. But my point is this: at night, my husband would get up because we didn't even have to turn on the propane tank. We used the fire burning stove, and that kept the house warm. And at night, Brother Mark would get up to stoke the wood and the flames. But he did not only stoke it, he had to remove the bath. He had to remove the burnt wood that was no longer any good, that served no purpose. Then he would put in the fresh wood to keep that fire burning. Do you understand?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, how do we do this? How do we stoke that fire? Because I don't expect you to go and buy a wood-burning stove. Amen. Amen. With prayer. With studying the word. With offering prayers and intercession for others. Amen.
Amen.
And very important is getting together with spiritually like-minded others.
Amen.
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 You know, going back to King David, in a weak moment, King David let someone else complete his spiritual battle. Didn't he? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. When he placed himself on that balcony, when he saw Bathsheba, he opened the door to the enemy. He intently entertained that traveler. Mm-hmm. As it entered his mind, he did not avert his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we focus on? Mm-hmm. We must focus on our eyes. What are we looking at? Is your spirit telling you to look away? Are we allowing ourselves to become too engrossed before we think that we are in control of the situation?
Mm.
We must focus on our ears. What are we listening to? What type of music are we listening to? What gossip are we entertaining? And let me tell you, listening is not hearing. Listening means much more than hearing. We must focus on our mouths. What are we saying?
Mm-hmm.
What speech, what words are we using? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't know why, but this came to mind, so I am going to say it. I once wrote down, and I did, some people asked me to write it down so they could see it. But a lot of the words that some use are profane. There's profanity. And I read once that profanity is a sign of an uneducated mind attempting to express itself. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let me tell you something else. In the natural, your brain is not made to distinguish lies from truth. It's not. It's not. What you tell it, it will believe. Amen. Tell them you're a loser. Tell them you're unwell. Tell them you're sad. And you're going to be those things. Amen.
That's
so
right.
Know that. The brain is not made to distinguish truth from lies. Tell it truths. Teach it the truth of God. Amen. So in closing, I want to leave you with this. There are two forces fighting for your mind, fighting for your spirit, fighting for your focus. The spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy. Two forces. The one that wins the battle is the one you feed the most. Get rid of the negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the losses of the previous day. Even when those losses don't seem to want to let go, get rid of them. Start each day with a clean mind, awakened in expectancy to all the things, the new blessings that God has for you in the new day. Mm-hmm. I tell you again, to guard your heart, guard your soul, and most of all, guard your spirit. I pray this message has blessed you and it brings you a new awareness and a new determination for future and present thought processes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.